From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, which each year hands out the most prestigious awards to filmmakers, actors, and others, just announced its solution to years of criticism that it has excluded people of color. Films must meet a series of criteria for future awards considerations to be phased in over the next few years in order to be eligible for the Oscars. The new diversity and inclusion criteria were apparently modeled after the British Academy of Film and Television Arts, or BAFTA's, new standards. But within days, critics pounced on the rule changes, saying they were either inadequate or went too far. My guest is Dr. Darnell Hunt, Dean of the Division of Social Sciences at UCLA and Professor of Sociology and African American Studies at UCLA. And he is the author with Dr. Ana Cristina Ramon of the 2020 Hollywood Diversity Report entitled A Tale of Two Hollywoods. Welcome back to the program, Darnell. We had had you on about this latest report. So it's great to have you on to talk about these new rule changes, which ostensibly are meant to address the problems that you point out in your report.
Great to be here.
So first, what exactly do these criteria demand? Looking through them, they're pretty specific. As far as I can tell, they don't apply necessarily to every single award, but just the most important ones?
That's correct. So my understanding is that the major standards apply to the best picture category. And there are four standards that the Academy has identified. The first deals with on-screen representation. The second deals with creative leadership and the project team. The third deals with industry access and opportunities. And the fourth deals with audience development. And to be eligible for consideration, a film must qualify in two of the four standards. Either, again, on-screen representation, creative leadership and project team, industry access and opportunities, or audience development. And each of those different standards have different marks that have to be hit. For example, with respect to on-screen representation, the film has to have at least one of the leads from an underrepresented minority group. Also, at least 30% of the secondary characters must be from two of the following groups: women, underrepresented minorities, LGBTQ+, or people with disabilities. And third, the main storyline is focused on an underrepresented group. So for a film to kind of count under that particular standard, all three of those criteria would have to be met. And each of the other standards have similar criteria that deal with diverse groups.
The most visible aspect of the lack of diversity in Hollywood is, of course, the lead cast of any film. And often the hashtag #OscarsSoWhite criticism has applied when we've seen nominations in the Best Actor, Best Actress, or Best Picture award going to all white actors, actresses, or filmmakers. Is it possible for a film to have still an all-white cast and make and be eligible under these criteria for a Best Picture award?
Looking at the various standards, I suppose you could meet standards C and D, industry access and opportunities, which involves, the studio or film company having paid internships for women, underrepresented minorities, LGBTQ people, people with disabilities, training opportunities for the crew, and standard D, audience development, having senior executives who work in marketing and so forth, and theoretically have a film that has an all-white cast. So that is possible because you would meet under two of the four standards, but not, under the on-screen representation standard.
What do you think, as somebody who has studied the issue of diversity and lack thereof in Hollywood for years, whether these are guidelines that are adequate enough to address the problems that your yearly report points out?
Well, it's an important first step. I mean, compared to what was there before, it's quite a step forward. So I commend the Academy for putting their money where their mouth is. I mean, they've been talking about trying to diversify their membership now for a few years. A few years back, you'll recall, on the heels of the Oscar So White movement, they initiated this 2020 initiative where they wanted to double the membership of color and women members by 2020, which I understand they achieved. But, you know, even with that achievement, the membership is still quite white male and older.
That's because the initial number was so small to begin with. If you double 10%, you're still at just 20%. And I think it wasn't even as high as 10%.
Exactly. And people of color right now are a little bit more than 40% of the U.S. population. And women, of course, are a little bit more than half the population. So you can see the gap between, you know, where the Academy was, where they landed with the 2020 initiative, and where America is. So there's still a way to go. So, but again, it was something. I mean, you know, they tried to address, and that was controversial, if you remember. A number of people were claiming that it was ageist because it was, you know, trying to get older guild members to not be eligible to vote so that as they brought in new members, those members would be a larger percentage of the membership and hopefully impact the types of projects that were nominated and ultimately won awards. So this is the next step forward. Now they're saying, look, we set the standards in the industry in terms of what counts for artistic creation, artistic achievement, and you know everyone's chasing that. So if we can say that films must look like America, the team in front of the camera and behind the camera must look like America in order to be eligible for Best Picture consideration, then we're shaping the culture. We're helping to change the discourse about what business as usual in the industry should be. That's the logic behind what they're trying to achieve with these new standards. And again, nothing like this has existed before. They did model it on the BAFTA process. And I think there's been some success there. And I think that this can move the needle. It's not gonna solve the problem because of course the Academy doesn't make films, but they are kind of indirectly shaping the culture that leads to the types of decisions that are made in executive suites about what types of projects to greenlight and what the project team should look like.
Right. I mean, if Mel Gibson or Clint Eastwood wanted to make an all-white film with an all-white behind the camera and front of the camera staff, they could still do that. Nobody would stop them. They just couldn't enter for an Oscar nomination. Now, one of the problems that exists, I want to pick up on what you said about older members who tend to be, of course, whiter, of the Academy, claiming ageism when those criteria were changed, is that in order for there to be greater inclusion of people of color or younger folks or just more diverse folks in general, you have to have those who currently have power and visibility stepping back. There needs to be some give and take, right? Because there's only so much space. You can't cram. And the Academy has tried to sort of cram or increase the size of the pie by making the number of nominations for Best Picture Award by increasing that number from 5 to, I don't know what it is now, 8 or 10. But ultimately, you have to have some white talent stepping away to make room for non-white talent, right?
Well, I mean, you know, the problem with the industry is that it's a very insular industry, and that is the root of its diversity problem. It's an industry where people, because it's so competitive and it's so fast-paced in terms of, you know, getting projects pitched, you know, green-lighted and then produced, that people tend to go back to the same well. They go back to the same Rolodex. They hire people they've worked with in the past. They have writing teams. They have producing teams. They have, you know, all kinds of people that, you know, have worked on, you know, similar projects in the past. And those are the people they tend to hire. Where if you're starting with an industry that's already predominantly white male, the odds are the person that you're going to feel comfortable with, you're going to bring on your team, is going to be another white male with the credentials to, you know, raise the likelihood that the project is going to be successful. And that has created problems for people of color and women to break into that vicious cycle of, you know, who gets the jobs. So what this is doing basically is saying, look, we're going to create an incentive structure. That is to say, consideration for Oscar Best Picture to actually think outside the box, go outside your comfort zone, and bring people on board, develop a pipeline of talent across the four standards they've identified, not just on-screen representation, but also the creative team behind the scenes, the pipeline for future access, bringing people in through paid internships, and also developing audiences by, you know, working with a marketing team that's diverse so that we don't run into these situations where the excuse was used in the past that, oh, we can't greenlight a film with a person of color in the lead because it won't travel overseas. Or where are you marketing it overseas when most of the world doesn't look like Europe? So those are issues, too, that I'm glad the Academy has taken into consideration with these standards.
Let's look at the criticism that the criteria don't go far enough. The Washington Post did an analysis showing that, taking a look at past winners of the Best Picture Award to see if they would have passed the criteria. And what they found was that a review of winners from the past 15 years shows that the new rules will usher in less change than advocates hope and critics fear, that 73% of the, which is a vast majority of winners, would have met the criteria without altering any casting practices or crew hires. Others could have done so with relatively minor changes. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, that's a great, counterfactual, I guess. What about the 27% that would not have? So there's this is not a panacea. It's not going to change the situation overnight. The Academy doesn't make films. The Academy recognizes films. So I think having standards, to begin with, as opposed to none, which has been the case, from the beginning of the Academy Awards, creates a conversation, creates a discourse that did not exist before, outside of Oscar So White, with respect to eligibility for the Academy Awards. So, if I had to guess, rather than trying to game the system, which is what I guess the premise of the Washington Post article is that, different studios and networks would say, okay, how can I minimally meet the requirements and make a film? The reason why I don't think that that's where we're going to head is because the other takeaway from our Hollywood diversity reports is that diversity sells. If Hollywood wants to do that, they're going to be leaving billions of dollars on the table because Latinos, for example, are woefully overrepresented among, frequent moviegoers. I mean, and people of color overall are driving box office, at least in the opening weekend in the U.S. market. We found in our last couple of reports that if you look at the top 10 films ranked by global box office, people of color bought the majority of the tickets for 8 of those top 10 films. So if you look at these new Academy standards as an opportunity to kind of sneak in and continue to make all white films and just meet some of the other two standards, you're going to be losing out at the box office. So for all those reasons, I think the combination of demographic reality and market reality, along with the shift in discourse and change in culture, where the Academy is saying, look, we are mandating certain diversity requirements for your film to be considered, I think that will change things. Again, I don't think it's going to be overnight. I don't know that it will be a sea change in the first year, but I think that the ecology of the industry will have to shift. Now this is on the front burner.
I mean, one of the easy changes they could make down the road if the criteria, if it seems as though the big studios are simply gaming the criteria, is to insist that all criteria need to be met, not just some of the four, the three or four, just say, right, we're changing it to require that you meet every single standard.
Yeah, I actually had a conversation with people at the Academy a few months ago about this when they were talking about the forthcoming standards. And they just wanted to, pick our brain regarding the work we do at UCLA and sort of how standards might be established. And at that time, it was very much a work in progress. So my sense is that this will get tweaked along the way based on the results, because there seems to be a real commitment at the Academy to be a part of the solution as opposed to a part of the problem, which is what they've been, I think, traditionally. And so my guess is that we'll have to see how this plays out in 2024 and whether in subsequent years we see a trend in terms of films considered for best Oscar with respect to these standards. If what the Washington Post article suggests is the case, that the standards aren't strong enough and that more films sneak through that don't meet what was intended by the standards, then I would advocate that they would tweak the standards.
And then let's look at the criticism that the criteria go too far, which of course predictably is something that you find very much in the Fox News type media outlets. Fox News was very excited that actress Kirstie Alley denounced the standards. They had a whole article about her tweet saying that diversity and inclusion should be taught, that she called the criteria a disgrace to artists everywhere. And another Fox News article essentially suggesting that these sorts of rules, in order to get more people of color to work in Hollywood, is to make more movies about them, which I don't know exactly what that means. You know, I guess I don't know if he's implying that white people should make movies about people of color or what, but that people of color shouldn't necessarily be the ones making them. But what do you make of the criticism that these rules go too far? And imagine that this is touching off a chord among the right wing in this country that has railed against so-called political correctness.
It's 2020, not 1950. I mean, that's my response. And we live in a society that's diverse on multiple dimensions. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, a little bit over 40% of our population now is people of color. The majority of babies born in America are people of color. So what we're talking about in terms of demographic shift, you know, with each passing year, we're becoming about 0.5% more diverse, moving toward minority status, you know, in 2041, 42 or so. And this, of course, is why we're having this intense political polarization in the country right now. The Trump administration is sort of appealing to that mythical past of a white America that excluded the prominence of people of color and other cultures in everything we do. And the culture wars are all about that. So I would say that this is long overdue. It's part of a needed corrective to the way the industry has operated for generations. I mean, you know, in our last report, we looked at the executive suites, which are the root of the problem. And if you look at the very top of the studios, the chairs and CEOs, 91% of them were white and 82% were male. If you look at the senior executives, 93% were white and 80% were male. And therein lies your problem. When you have people who don't necessarily have the cultural sensitivity of America as it is today, making green lighting decisions, we see the same types of problems reproduced over and over again. So the only way you can break out of that cycle is to sort of structure in incentives. And that's what the Academy guidelines are. They're incentives. No film has to, you know, sort of apply to be considered for an Academy Award. I mean, you can make a film and it doesn't have to be, you know, considered for Academy Award recognition. You can just make your film. But this is an incentive. If you want to be considered for this award, you have to meet certain standards. And so I think that's what we have to do on every front. We have to hardwire certain incentives in so that business as usual can be blown up and something different can be done in the industry. Because left to its own devices, it'll just keep reproducing that comfort zone that I've talked about, and the industry will fall further and further behind where America is and where America is going.
The libertarian magazine Reason.com had an interesting and frankly slightly bizarre take on these new rules, saying that the new diversity rules wouldn't change who won Best Picture, but it would probably lock out indie filmmakers. And it went on to make the case that you would have actors and actresses whipping out their 23andMe results to prove their non-white status. Imagine the bewildered Academy trying to nominate a Best Actor and Best Actress from a sea of young celebs who've all adopted non-binary identities and they, them pronouns in order to help check the LGBT box for their film's Best Picture nod. What do you make of this?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, our identity is something we claim. I mean, no one sort of defines us. I mean, the census, when it, you know, collects data on who we are, gives us the opportunity to check a box or, you know, to check several boxes. So if people decide they want to, you know, affirm certain aspects of their identity as part of this process, I mean, that's going to happen. Again, I mean, you would hope that it wouldn't be in the vein of, again, trying to game the system to avoid actually engaging in meaningful change. But that's always a risk with anything you do. My response to the libertarian would be, you know, this is certainly better than what currently exists with respect to the problem of diversity in the industry. And something has to be done because you know, if you keep repeating the same thing over and over again, you're going to get the same results, and the results are just not acceptable.
And of course, Darnell, it's so important to remind ourselves of why these issues are important. I mean, it sound on the surface to be superficial while the world is literally burning down around us to be talking about diversity in Hollywood. But, you know, we have a very serious problem of racial injustice in this country. The United Nations' human rights chief just called for the U.S. to address systematic racism every day or every other day. There is news of police violence or armed vigilante violence against people of color. And Hollywood, in its current incarnation, sadly feeds into white supremacy, right? And can have such serious influence to turn our, you know, to shift our culture the other way, if it would only take seriously the idea that our films, our television should look like America.
Well, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Authoritarian leaders, when they take over, one of the first things they do is try to control the media. Our current president is trying to sort of brand the media as the enemy of the people so that he can undermine the messaging they're trying to send, particularly when it exposes some of the wrongdoing in his administration. Point being, media matters. Hollywood films are entertaining, but they're not just entertainment. They actually shape the way we see the world around us. Immigrants who come to this country, there's all kinds of evidence that when they come here with sort of pre-existing ideas about the people they're going to encounter, a lot of that comes through the Hollywood products that are exported around the globe. So media tend to normalize the way we look at the world. They tend to shape the way we come to understand other groups, and they become a stand-in for knowledge of those groups when we don't have face-to-face intimate contact with them. So what Hollywood produces, while it's entertaining us, is also shaping our worldview. And when race and LGBTQ status and, political affiliation and all these other things that matter in the quote-unquote real world are represented on the screen, they have the potential, particularly when they're repeated, and when you see the same tropes over and over again in different media, they have the potential to stand in for reality, or at least to convince us that certain things are real and other things aren't. So that's why it's important that Hollywood be open, accessible, diverse in terms of not just the people on the screen, but the people who are telling the stories behind the screen.
Darnell, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your latest report from our website, and people can also watch the interview we had done with you when the 2020 Hollywood Diversity Report first came out. Thank you so much for all your work.
Great. I appreciate it.
My guest has been Dr. Darnell Hunt, Dean of the Division of Social Sciences at UCLA, Professor of Sociology and African American Studies at UCLA. We've been discussing the Academy's new awards criteria of diversity and inclusion. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.